Green.
Green. Anybody else interested? Okay.
And we're up to that same parak, Yud Aleph, but the paragraph that starts, Ulam HaShavuos. Again, he's discussing things that are mostly between man and man, where there are subtleties to the halachas, and that a person has to be very careful in the intricate subtleties if he wants to really be clean of these averas. We already don't know where it is. Ulam HaShavuos.
56.
Is it Perek Yud Aleph?
Yeah, Perek Yud Aleph. I think it's Perek Yud Aleph, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Ulam HaShavuos Afal Fisha Min Astam Kol She'eno Min HaHedyotos Nishmar Mehotzi Shem Shemayim Mipiv Levatala Kol She'eno Mishvua. Even though people who are not not careful b'chlau with averus, right, usually don't swear with God's name just like this, even though the Shari Tshuva says that in his time this was one of the averus that people was very common. And by Svardin, the truth is that you find this. They swear on everybody's life and for the smallest thing. It's a cultural kind of thing, right? So it's also to take a shvua, especially using the Rebbe Shlomo's name, or to take a shvua altogether, even if it's true, for no purpose. So to swear with the Rebbe Shlomo's name, most people just don't do that. Yesh odeis anofi ptanim shafal bisha eno min hachamurim yoser al kol pnei roi l'misha rotsu l'yos noki l'shorme. However, there are, like we said, very subtle parts of this idea of swearing either falsely or for no purpose, that if a person wants to be totally clean of this avera, he has to take those in consideration. Sometimes just repeating something, yes, yes, no, no, right, is considered like a shvua. So even if you didn't say, I swear, but you emphasize something in a way that's not normally emphasized like that, and it's usually taken as a total commitment to what you're saying, that has a din of a shvua. Omar Rava, v'hud omar lav lav trei zimne, v'hud omar hein hein trei zimne. V'chein omru v'hin sevik shia lav shalchot sevik v'hein shia. What you say, yes and no, you should keep. In other words, don't affirm something that's not true. And even if you don't say, I swear, but you say it in an emphatic way, you repeat it twice, yes, yes, or whatever, which is, or in any other way that's similar to that, it has, it's not exactly a shvua, but sometimes it has the force of a shvua, and therefore, if you're lying, so it's a shvua sheker, and if there's no purpose to emphasize that, it's a shvua shav. So even though you're not mentioning God's name, but it's still not a good thing for a person to affirm things like that when there's no purpose for it, or surely where it's not true. Okay, which leads us to the next thing. The hinei dvar hasheker, right, lying, is also gam hu choli ra nispashit ma'od mevnei adam. Right, that's something that is spread. People like to lie. And we'll see that there's all different kinds of liars. Ve'ula madregos madregos yeshbo. There are different levels of lying and liars. Okay, I once went through this inyan, even though we'll see the Mesillas Yesharim clearly says the opposite way. But I once, when I was in high school, said a lie. Right? Not George Washington, but I don't know if it was one, but once that made a difference. We were writing a Purim play, and the dorm supervisor came in, and we were up way past curfew. These are not for you to listen to, these guys here. We were up way past curfew.
Yeah, they're
And and the dorm supervisor came in and wanted to know why we were up, and we said we had permission from the rebbeim. The next day he checked, and it never was true. That wasn't really true. The so we got called in, and I was given a punishment to write a paper of how terrible it is to lie. So I worked on it very much, and I found that there's a shita that holds that if the lie doesn't hurt anybody, it's not osur at all. There's a rishon. And I wrote a whole piece of Torah proving that what I did was not wrong at all. They didn't like that too much. And,
yes, you read it.
Right, they read it, yeah. They told me to do it over. And find somebody who says it was wrong. In any case, but there is a shita that holds that a sheker she'enora, a lie that doesn't harm anybody, is not asur. Torah only asur lying if there's some detriment, to some harm. But stam lying where it doesn't hurt anybody, nobody gets hurt because of it, is not asur. See, the Mishnah Sharm says clearly not that way, and it's mistaber that the halacha is that even lying where it has no bearing on hurting anybody is still asur because it's not true, and basically saying things that aren't true are the opposite. We'll see, the Mishnah Sharm says that of what the Rabbanu said. The Rabbanu was emes. Hashem Elokeichem emes. Emes means what's real, what's substantial. The rest of everything that's not what the Rabbanu Shalom is a lie. It's false. Doesn't really exist. So somebody who promotes something that's not true, even if it doesn't hurt anybody, but that in itself is the antithesis of what the Rabbanu Shalom is. The Rabbanu Shalom is whatever is substantial and real and true, that's what the Rabbanu Shalom made. And Sheker, the Rabbanu Shalom, only allowed to be, but it's not, doesn't really exist, and it's the opposite of what he is. So somebody who promotes a sheker is promoting the antithesis of the Rabbanu Shalom. We'll get to the Mishnah Sharm says this.
Aaron Cohen was known for telling little white lies
Okay, good question. There are times that you're allowed to lie mipnei hashalom, or sometimes to avoid embarrassment. We'll see that is not called a lie. That what's called truth and what's called a lie is not necessarily what the facts are or as they appear. But we'll get to that. First, let's see how bad it is to lie, and then we'll see when the exceptions are and why they're exceptions. But it's a good question. And especially since Yaakov Avinu exemplified the midah of emes, and yet seems that he tricked Lavan and he tricked his brother, and if you pick anybody in Tanakh that doesn't seem to be emes, was Yaakov. And yet says Titen emes li Yaakov. So when we'll explain why there are times when it's okay not to report the facts for whatever reason, then it could be that that's called the emes, not a sheker. But okay, but leave it for now. We'll get to it probably not tonight. Okay. Let's just finish what the Mishnah Sharm says of how serious saying things that aren't true is. V'hinei dvar sheker gam l'chol ira mispashet mol mov v'nei odom v'ula madregas magriz yeshlo. Yesh v'nei odom she'unosam mamash yashakron. Some people are professional liars. It's like this is what they do all the time. Right? They create falsehoods. Heim haholchim ubodim milibam kzavim gemurim leman harbo sicha ben habrios. They do it because this way it gives us something to talk about. So they make up fantastic things, right? Oh lahechoshet ben hachachamim v'yodei dvarim harbe. Or they make up things to make themselves look knowledgeable, and they know what they're talking about. It's totally fantastic falsehoods. The aleim nemar tovas Hashem, toevas Hashem sifse sheker. Right? It's a toeva. And he explains over here, Rabbi Cheskel Levenstein, that toeva means something that's the antithesis of what the Rabban Shalom wants in this world. For instance, says homosexuality is considered a toeva. Because what the Rabban Shalom wants in this world is the world should be populated, and that they created men and women to be able to do that, and people who go against that, or going against the foundations of what the Rebbein Shalom wants. That's called a toeva. So he says that's why, what's it called? Toeva Hashem sifse sheker. Va'omer sifsosechem dibru sheker l'shonchem avla tehege. He's talking about people who do this all the time. They it's a professional liars. And it's mashma over here, it doesn't have to harm anybody. They just want to make themselves look, you know, they make up what's it called, what degrees they have, or where they were, or what they saw, whatever, makes people impressed. They want to impress people, and they impress them by creating falsehoods. And here, again, this mashma doesn't have to hurt anybody. Just people who like to, you know, fantasize about things and tell people things that are not true and make them believe that they are true. That in itself is a toeva. And he says that what applies to these people is what Chazal say, Arba Kitos Eina Mekablos Pnei Ashrina, the Echad and Kas Shakran. There are four kinds of people, groups of people, that will never never receive the Shrina in the next world. And one of them is liars, because they're the antithesis of the Rabban Shalom. They can't have a keshe with the Rabban Shalom. The Yesh Acherim Krovim Lehem. So that's the first level. The first level is people who professionally or constantly lie. They don't know what it means to, some people like that don't even know what it means to tell the truth anymore. Right? And they can't distinguish between truth and falsehood, and they're not crazy people, they're evil people. Yeah.
Let's say somebody's saying a story or something that happened to them, but they exaggerate just a little bit.
We'll see. We'll get to that. So that's the first kind of people. People who, all the time, kavua, spew lies. What? Chronic liars. Chronic liars, right?
Pathological liars.
Okay. But again, it's not mashman has to hurt anybody. It's just, there are people like that, what's it called? They just make up, they see things in a totally distorted way. I don't know if they even believe what they're saying is true. Probably not. They know that it's not true, but it doesn't make a difference. Some, the next level down, not as bad as this, close. These are people who, whenever they tell over stories, add in a little bit, you know, to make a little relish, they add in a little bit that's not true. Right? They don't do it all the time. They don't lie about everything. But they like to exaggerate and add not true things in the stories they're telling to edify the stories. They're not professional, chronic liars. They don't make up stories that never happen. Things happen, and they like to talk about them. But parts of it, they exaggerate or make up. They add lies into when they want to tell over something or whatever. They're not medactic to tell over what happened truthfully. They add in things that are not true. This becomes second nature to these people. They're never medactic to say over the truth, but if they say something, they add fantasies into it.
Okay. We're saying over presenting a story, presenting it as fiction. Like a novel or something.
Oh yeah, people know that it's fiction. Yeah, what's it? But there's a marshal. Sheldon, they're like that. They're not true. They're just a marshal. So same thing. Right. But basically, a fiction is a marshal, right? A fiction book is a this is to tell you something about true ideas, but we're making up a story to give you or to entertain you. Yeah, those lechora are not. If people know that they're false, then they're not false. It's true that they're false.
But does it, besides the Isser, does it affect the person of being used to making up things?
Out Isser Veheter, I'm not sure. Out psychologically, yeah, people who like to live in fantasy worlds. That's why a lot of people like to go to movies and read fiction novels, because they want to escape reality and they want to live in a fantasy world. Yeah, that's not very healthy. People sometimes escape into these novels because they don't want to face reality, and they don't use these novels as, you know, when they're written in a way that they give you a message and you're supposed to learn something from, is one thing. When they're just fantasies that people can get lost in and narcissistically, you know, enjoy being somebody else in this novel and thinking about themselves being like that. Yeah, that's not supposed to be very healthy.
I was asking more about the author.
Huh?
About
writing it? Yeah. Well, if the author says this is not true, it's not meant to be true,
it's just entertainment.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. They most of the time do it for money, so it's... Okay, the Haim... Yeah?
What about stories from that are written about some of the Gedolim that may be exaggerated? How...
So, first of all, that's also Sheker, right? Gedolim themselves, right, were very careful not to exaggerate things or whatever. I remember the story about Rav Aaron Cutler, that they printed stationery of his yeshiva, I think it was him, and they put two trees in the front that didn't exist, that made the place look better. He made them take it out. He says, it's a lie. It portrays the place not like it is. Right? And somebody may give an extra dime because there's two trees, nice trees in front of the place, and that's not true. It's shaker. So Gedolim themselves were very careful, probably not to mishaker. So writing about them and adding, right, so people, what people think is, and we're going to see that may be one of the exceptions when you are allowed to lie, right, to edify somebody that you want people to follow or whatever. But the truth is that it's not a good thing altogether. You forget, let's say it's not a lie. And it is a lie, but it's okay to do because the benefit of it outweighs the fact that it's not really true. And you don't know for sure, maybe, you know, you don't know that everything this Gadol did, so maybe he did, you know, they said Rosh Moshe Feinstein learned Shas 400 times. Maybe he did, you know, even though it's pretty much physically impossible, but maybe he did. So, but it's not a healthy thing because learning about Gedolim is a positive thing if you can say, you know, look how great a person could be, and I could also be like that. Not exactly like him, but I could at least bring out my potential. But if you portray Gedolim as somebody that's beyond human, they're like, you know, superheroes, then it's entertaining. But there's no purpose to it. Because, you know, you could read Superman comics and, you know, and if you're a little kid, you can, you know, fantasize that you could fly too. But once you get a little older, it's just entertaining, but you don't really try to be Superman. Because you know it's impossible. It's a fantasy. So if you portray Gedolim as supermen and superwomen, right, which nobody could ever, no normal, regular human being could ever be, then what are you gaining? Nobody's going to ever want to emulate them. It's entertaining, right? It's nice to hear. But I can't be like that. That's why there's no purpose of reading Svarim about Malachim, Gavriel. I can't be a Malach. I'm not a Malach. So it's nice entertainment, but it's no better than Superman comics. The way that Svarim about Gedolim should be written is to portray them as the human beings they were, yet they were human beings, but look how great they were. And I think that's what it means in Rishonim Kim Malachim. If you understand the Rishonim being like Malachim, not they weren't Malachim, they were Malachim, big deal. Right? You don't edify a Malach, that's what he's created to be. But they're like Malachim, they're human beings. And they're like Malachim, then you're a human being too. So there's hope that you could also reach your potential, maybe not as great as them, but they also were human beings, and look what they accomplished. But if you don't look at them as human beings, then what's the benefit? Remember when we first came to Eretz Yisrael as tourists, first and only time, 2 years before we came here. So we toured the country on our own. We didn't go on any tours or whatever. And we made up a whole itinerary where we're going to go. And like about the third, fourth day, my wife said to me, you know, all the places that we've seen are graves, except for the Kosel Maravi. All the Mekomos HaKdoshim are graves. Like, you know, we've been spending all the time going to this grave, that grave, it's fast, and this. Wouldn't it have been better, instead of being the Akiva's grave, right, that they preserved his Beis Medrash, his Shtender, his whatever, right, instead of going to his grave? That was a good question. And coupled with that, I remember that when I first came here, I had a Balabos in Miami, who I've spoken about many times, Herbie. So he went to Eretz Yisrael, and we came back, and he told me that the first time he went to the Kosel, he was so overwrought and overawed that he thought he was having a heart attack. And the mice, it was like, you know, such an experience for him. So he described to me. So I figured, first time I go to the Kosel, this is, you know, regular guy. I mean, I'm going to like a better being Hatzalah with me or whatever, you know, who knows what's going to be. So we went from the airport, my brother-in-law picked us up and drove us to the Kosel for Mincha. And I remember davening by the Kosel for Mincha. It's a wall. And I obviously didn't feel anything. I davened Mincha, that was it. I tore Kriya. I remember some guy who knew me met me and said, oh, I didn't know you were a novel. Meanwhile, I didn't know what to call it. It wasn't a novel. I just tore Kriya by the Kosel. But I didn't feel anything. I felt really embarrassed. Like, you know, maybe I got to check and find out if I'm Jewish or not. You know, what's it called? This Bala boss told me that he was like, I didn't feel anything. It was a wall. But then afterwards I realized, I discussed with my Shiva too, and it's the same thing with the graves. And that's the following. We never in Eretz Yisrael. We, you know, pictured of Yerushalayim as people like floating a little bit above thing, and everybody with donkeys and robes and whatever. And I came to Yerushalayim, and there's cars and red lights and green lights, and it looks like any other city. And the wall is not shining, you know, with diamond laser lights coming out of it. It's a wall on the ground or whatever. So when you expect something supernatural, and you see that it's natural, so it's a big disappointment. Like, but that's what the godless is. It's a wall with plain stones. But look at the Kedusha it has. And that's exactly what the Gedolim. If you look at them like Malachim, then there's no purpose. The purpose is to see they were human beings and look what they accomplished. How do you know they're human beings? Because they're buried here. Just like everybody else, flesh and blood. And they weren't Malachim. They're buried. Just like everybody else, they lived, they died, and yet look what they accomplished during their life. That's the place that you should be impressed with. So the fact that they're human beings, and that's what Rabbi Kamenetsky, Noson Kamenetsky, wanted to accomplish with the making of a Gadol. He portrayed the Gadolim as human beings with frailties too. And yet, with all their frailties, look what they accomplished, and look what they overcame things. Some Rav Putner has a famous letter that he wrote, a Bacher wrote him and said he's probably giving up learning. He was about his 20s because he's not cut out to be anything special, because he has too many nisyonos and too many chatoyim, and he's not going to ever, nothing's going to amount from him. He said, what are you talking about? Do you think Gedolim didn't have any nisyonos and they never did any chatoyim? He said, what's it called? That's what human beings are. That's what life is. So just because you're not, you know, not some Superman right now who's perfect, doesn't mean that you're not going to be someday somebody special. And if you stay by learning, who knows what you'll be. That's what human beings are. You think that these Gedolim, when they were 3 years old, were big tzaddikim, knew everything or whatever. It's not true. They went also had nisyonos. Unfortunately, they're never portrayed like that. So people think that I'm not perfect, then I'll never be like them, because Rav Moshe Feinstein, when he was 6 years old, knew Kol HaShlo Torah Kula, and he was a tzaddik and never did any averus or whatever, so I'll never be Rav Moshe Feinstein. But you have to know that Rav Moshe Feinstein also went through these things when he was younger. This is one of the big problems with seminary girls, because they look up to their teachers, who already many of them accomplished older people, right? And they decide they want a husband like that. Except they don't realize these people are teaching them, who are now in their 40s, 50s, when they were 20, didn't look like that either. Right? But they're expecting, and then every boy that they go out with, this is not what I want, right? So they should go out with 50 and 60 year olds. Except most of them are married, so it's a little difficult. It's mind boggling, because people have this false aura, and that's sheker too. And it's a sheker that hurts people. So, yeah, the stories with Gedolim were very entertaining, but the ones that are beneficial are the ones that portray the Gedolim as real human beings. And the only problem is that the way Rabbi Kamenetsky did it, he did it very, and he showed a lot of the shortcomings that people had. And it was supposed to be, despite that, look what greatness they had. But unfortunately, people look at it the other way. And they say, hey, if they could do that, then I could too. And they didn't realize that they overcame those things or whatever, and they looked at it in a very, very negative way. And that was a zilzul in the covet of these people, because that wasn't... So therefore the Gedolim said, like, they put the book of Cherim or whatever, knowing that Rav Nosson Kamenetsky didn't write it with that intention, but it could be terribly used the wrong way. So that's the way I understand. But he for sure didn't mean to be mazalzel on the covet. He meant to give them covet. The covet was. And the truth is, the Gemara speaks about the shortcomings. We have many of the agadas as we've gone through. The shortcomings of Tanoim, Amoroyim. And truth is, the Rebbe Mosov in Tanakh tells us the shortcomings of David HaMelech or whatever. But again, it's a very thin line of using it properly or not. But to make them into supermen and superwomen is useless. And it's not only useless, it harms, because then people feel, well, I can never do this, why should I try? It's not a positive thing.
Is there any other author that is reliable besides...
I know, tell the truth. One of the svarim that I saw that's pretty... is Rabbi Yonason Rosenblum's book about Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. I knew Rabbi Yaakov. That portrays him the way he was. It doesn't make him into... But Adarabba, that's really impressive, because Itaka was a real human being, and look what a human being he was. But it doesn't make him into some... many of the art scroll books are written in such a way that they're fantastic. And it's not... I remember Rabbi Tendler wrote, I think it was a letter into the Jewish press or something like that, after Moshe was nifter. And he said, you know, why do they have to portray my father-in-law and write fantastic things that he never did, that no human being could ever do? Right? And he had enough good things he did that were true. You don't have to make up things to make Moshe look good. He said, and I remember he said, it said that he finished Shas 400 times. He didn't finish Shas 400 times. Not humanly possible. Why don't they say he held his grandchildren on his lap and he used the what to go? Tell me that he was a human being, but look what a great human being he was. And 100% he's right. That, and he knew Ramosha, I mean, pretty close. He was his son-in-law. So, sometimes, and so not only that, sometimes they do even worse. That they revise history. And they write things about Gedolim that that not only never did, but they did the opposite. But it doesn't fit their, what they think the Gadol should have done. So therefore, it's not makovet for the Gadol to say what he really did. So we're going to change history and change it, which is a real chutzpah, because if the Gadol did it, right, then who are you to say that he shouldn't have done it? Right? I'm going to portray what it was. So maybe you want to leave that out because people get the wrong idea, or they'll use it wrongly or whatever. I'm not going to give any examples, but there are many examples, especially about the Netziv and others, that people today don't like the fact that they spoke well about this person or this organization or that organization, and they like, you know, leave that out or change it, because it doesn't fit their political, you know, view or whatever, agenda. That's a real chutzpah to Gedolim. So what do they say? No, but people will misunderstand it, and they'll think that under these circumstances it's the same thing, and therefore we're saving people from making mistakes and following these Gedolim when what they did was different. I don't know exactly what the heter is, but that's the thing. So to read books where Mamish, you create new history, Mamish, it's revisionist, is, in my estimation, better shouldn't write the book. But they do it all the time. This is, and then the books come out and they had things about Gedolim that were true. And they put them in Cherim, or they made them change it or whatever to something that wasn't true because they didn't like what the truth was. It's like beyond belief. But it happens all the time, and that's supposed to be frum. So that's not frum, even if it's done by frum people. Okay. got off on this tangent, but it was, I think, an important thing. Which book? Making of a Gadol?
Yeah.